Thank you for the word that was brought forward this morning. Just a quick explanation. Thank you to the person who prayed in between. It was a great prayer. Thank you. That was a heartfelt prayer. And we appreciate it. All right. I'd like to just say that I believe it's time, folk. More than ever before, now is the time that we need to awaken our hearts and become on fire as God wants us to be. I believe that's the gist of the word that God wants, to seek Him, to find Him, to be on fire for Him. And folk, last week, I believe this has been going on since Mighty Men's Camp, really, this before that even, that God's been saying to us, it's time. It's time for us to get our lives together. Forget about the world and the things of this world and the hurt that the world brings. But let's focus on God. And last week, I had such an awesome experience here in this church. Started with Conrad standing up and saying that this is what God's laid on his heart. Man, it was like my toes had been put under a steamroller. Okay, flattened out. It was so painful. But it's a painfulness that we need to consider within our lives. And the thing that came across to me was this, and it was found in Haggai chapter 1. You know, so often we blame Satan for everything. You need to be careful. Because he's not responsible for anything. He's a thug. He comes to steal and destroy. Many times we go through situations not because of what he's done, but because God has allowed it to bring us back to the place where he wants us to be. And this over here, it says here in verse 5 of chapter 1. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Pastor Keith came on afterwards and he says, oh, this is my hobbies. I need to consider them. Are they more prioritized than what my life with God is? I began to look at this and I looked at other areas of my life because it's not just hobbies. You know, it's my fancy. Whatever becomes more important to you. In fact, I believe that what Pastor Keith shared last week was the start of what we need to consider in our lives. And as I read that, I've been contemplating about it the whole week, and God took me to a sermon that I'd prepared many, many years ago that I preached. And I asked the question this morning, where to South Africa? Where to Christian Heritage Church? Where to South Africa? It may seem very political, but I can assure you it's not. It's here to wake us up, to make us realize that the scripture that we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. But now, hang on. We all know that. But what does the verse before that say? It says this. And the Lord appeared to Samuel the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name. And folks, so often, as I said earlier on, We blame Satan. You know, I stubbed my big toe. It's Satan's fault. Or I'm not having a good time today. It's Satan's fault. But isn't it, could it not be because it's our own fault because we haven't considered our ways? We have not done what God requires of us. This morning God said, I require of you. Are we doing what God requires of us? And I don't want to put too much of a heavy upon us this morning, but folk, it's time for us to consider our ways. We woke up this week with much turmoil in the media about the governing party, the sudden reshuffle, Pravin Gordhan being fired. Speak to people around the workplace, what are they saying? Oh, the Gumtas have got hold of South Africa again. Where does that put us? How do you feel about it? We're all insecure. We don't know where to stand or what to do. There are many more questions. And in some cases, contemplation of violent response is being discussed. In fact, on Friday, there was rumors, there were big stories on the news as to violence that was taking place in Joburg because Pravin Gordhan had been sacked. People, I want to say this today. The winds of dissension, discord, deception have been blowing over this country for the last decade. Sorry, I don't know which to have my glasses on or not. They're blown over this country for the last decade. And questions have been raised, but are the answers true and proper? No one can honestly evaluate our country today without realizing that it is a dangerous time that we are living in. Exceptionally dangerous time. But what is at the heart of the crisis? What is it? Is it Satan trying to destroy the Christian church? Is it the political move? Is it the economy? Is it something sociological? Folk, we can put all of it in one and say that's what the basket holds. And I'm going to say, no, it is not. This morning, I believe the answer is, the problem is a spiritual crisis that we as South Africans are facing. Yes, thank you for that. It is a spiritual crisis that we are facing. At one stage, they said, South Africa had 70% Christians. I want to tell you the truth about that statistics. It's probably down to 1%. Because the people that are on fire for God are not standing up. The people who are called by His name are not true Christians today. They're not doing what God requires of them to do. A recent survey amongst the minority of students of about 2,000 young people interviewed said there's no figure in South Africa whom they admire and respect and whom they could identify as a role model. Ouch. That puts me in that picture. These young people sitting here today, am I their role model? No, I'm not. But do I want to be their role model? No, I don't. Because I believe they need the role model of Jesus Christ. There's a great shortage of people, personalities, who can be pointed out to and say, that is a man of God. There's such a shortage. And why is it, folk? We've taken our lamps and we've put them under a bushel because we're scared of what the people are going to say. And I want to tell you today, it's time that we step out and we become bold and we call sin what it is. It is sin, and it's going to take you to hell, and you're going to burn in hell. You're going to die and land up with eternal damnation if you continue to sin. That's why the Word of God says, if my people will turn from their ways, their evil ways. Folk, we cannot call sin good and good evil good. We cannot. Good is good. Good is Jesus Christ. Good is love. Good is joy and peace. We need to start letting the world know that Jesus is alive. Not just because we sit here in church on a Sunday morning and warm the pew. You can do that in front of your TV. Go and warm your pew in front of your TV. Yeah, we need people who are alive. Yeah, we need people who who know Jesus. Who want to love Jesus every moment of the day. Who want Jesus to be known every moment of the day. Then we can say, yes, let's do what Jesus wants us to do. To be like Jesus. Folk, it's not easy. It's not easy. But we need to. We hear so often of my responsibilities. I want responsibilities. I have rights. Well, if you have rights, the responsibilities come with it. You have a right to be called a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but there's a responsibility that goes with it. It means letting your light shine, letting the world know about Jesus. You see, God gave Israel a recipe. It's found here. He gave them a recipe. The recipe is this. Accept responsibility for what you haven't done. Now there's silence. When last did we stand up against the government with this whole bill of rights? I know this church did. I know I did. When last have we stood up against the government when they said we're taking Bible reading out of the schools? That started more than 16 years ago, that rubbish. And I call it rubbish because if we don't have God in this country, then we are not a godly country. And you know what? Just to add a little bit of, you know, that titsilky, too much information. They've taken God out of the Constitution. So what godly country are we? But we stand back. Teaching the third year students at Bible school, one of the ladies says, when they have a discussion over a bill of rights or bill of something that's supposed to be put forward, maybe two Christians arrive. The rest are Hindus, Muslims, and whatever other atheists or whatever they are turn up. What voice do we have when only two people stand there? If we're supposed to be 70% Christian, all of us should be standing there and saying no. Fuck, I've gone off the point, but the point is this. We're so concerned about our rights. When I was at the high school, the children say, we've got rights. Yeah, but the responsibility comes with it. If you've got the freedom, which is your right is freedom. But it doesn't give you the right to be a drunkard or an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever. Okay? That you start affecting other people. Statistics shows, and those who do counseling will tell you, and it's a very low statistic. One alcoholic affects 14 different people. What about drug addicts? Folk, yet we say we've got responsibility. When we sin, are we responsible enough to say, I have sinned, I, David, has sinned against God and God alone. Isn't that what David wrote in Psalm 51? He said, I have sinned, and against you, Father, only you have I sinned. But folk, I want to ask you this morning, is that the truth about us? No, we say, they did it. It was Shirley's fault. She did it. This is not Shirley's fault, it's my own fault. I put the spoon in my mouth. They've got nothing to do with it. But we're blaming they. And why are we blaming they? Because Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed Eve. She gave it to me to eat. No, he told me that we could do it. That you were only joking, God. And I said respectfully, folk. But I want us to understand what I'm trying to get at over here today. Who of us here really are prepared to stand up when we have sinned and say, Father, it is I that have sinned. Me and me alone. It wasn't my father. It wasn't my brother. It wasn't my sister. It is me and me alone. Who of you are prepared to take that responsibility? No, I've got rights. I've got rights. Don't tell me that I must do that. Well, folk, I believe the responsibility stops right there. You can have rights. But unless you're prepared to accept the responsibility of the mistakes that you've made, you have no rights. You can't blame the government. You can't blame somebody else or somebody else or somebody. Say they were the ones that did it. Where were you when they were doing it? To stop them from doing it. That's our responsibility, folk. Our responsibility goes further. You see, we're so responsible that pride has blinded our eyes. And has cost us our freedom. As soon as we sin, that freedom is taken away. Because sin cannot come into the very presence of Almighty God. So we lose the freedom that we have to come into the throne room of God. Then we'll walk around and wonder, when's God going to answer me? When's he going to hear my prayers? I'm going to ask you, when last have you confessed the sin in your life? And accepted the responsibility for what you've done. Then God can hear your prayers. Have you ever considered what you've been given? The cost was high. It was an extremely high cost that was given at an extremely high cost. But what do you say? The blood of our ancestors cry out from the ground because of what is happening in this country today. They've given up. They fought for this country. They've done. You know what? Forget about your ancestors. Forget about the history of South Africa and all the bloodshed that happened. What about the blood of Jesus that paid for your soul? How about considering the blood of Jesus that was given for your soul? Because Jesus loved you that much that he gave his life for you and I. He shed his blood on Calvary so that we might come straight to him. It's got nothing to do with the blood of our ancestors. We cannot rely on that. The only reliance that we have is Jesus Christ. We can blame as much as we like, we can blame our conduct on the elusive they. You know, when Shirley had the nursery school in Randfontein, and these little boys got up to mischief, they always said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Stoes Nyanis, it wasn't me. And I've always said I'd like to catch wasn't me, but I'll tell you what, I'll give him such a fat ear. He will not know that it wasn't him. It was him. You see, folk, when we're saying they, we're saying, it wasn't me. I didn't eat the apple. I didn't pick the apple. It was, you know what, when we're doing that, we've forgotten of pointing back. Folk, it was us. It was us. We can't blame the condition of South Africa on they. South Africa is where it is today because we as people of God have not prayed enough. When last have you sweated blood over prayer? Jesus did for you and I. Have we sweated blood yet for what's happening in this country as we pray? Well, let's start by getting down on our knees and doing it. Have you sweated blood over your child that's gone amiss? And by amiss, I mean that has stepped out of line, is doing the things that are against the Word of God. Have we loved deeply enough to care deeply enough for those around about us? Have we not given sacrificially enough? Why are there so many churches closing? Or the pastors doing without an executive salary? Because people have lost the whole concept and principle of tithing. Are we not preaching loudly enough? Somebody said to me this morning, they can't hear. I said, all right, I'll raise the decibels so that you can hear. I must tell you this. I was preaching at an old age home one day in Randfontein. The one lady came in. She was very vociferous. She said, hierdie pastore wat hierso kom, hulle kan nie hard praat nie, en ek hoor nie wat hulle sê nie, so ek kry nie die boodskap, hoekom moet ek nou hierso kom sit? So I said to her, okay lady, I'll tell you what, ek sal vir jou bid. So I prayed for her, and I prayed for everybody in the auditorium with all their aids, hearing aids. And as I started preaching, I raised the decibels higher and higher. When I'd finished, I got down and I said, goodbye, folk. Thanks. Very nice to know you. This lady said, yo, of it was a gebed of pastor had my heart gepraat. Are we preaching loudly enough for the world to hear that Jesus is alive, that he is the Son of God? Are we witnessing loud enough in our lives, in our attitudes, in our walk in God, that people in the world are sitting up and saying, wow, if that's what Jesus is, that's what I want. Amen. Have we not become involved diligently enough? Statistics show that only 10% of the church congregation get involved. Well, you know what? Conrad, what date in April is that prayer, that witnessing out here? The witness. 8th of April. It's Saturday the 8th. Somebody help me. Quickly count the people. Everybody of you are going to be there diligently on fire for Jesus. No, I can't. I'm going to look after the grandchild. No, I can't. My knees won't do it. Or my hips won't do it. I'm an old person. You know what? You might be an old person. Your knees might not be able to be cronky. Then you come and sit in the church and you pray for those that have gone out. That the Holy Spirit fills them. That everyone in this town will know Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no excuse. When people go out, we need people on their knees. That's when we are diligently involved. We ask for people, please, we need people to monitor the board. Silence. We need worship team players. Who can play the piano? Silence. We need Sunday school teachers. All the teachers say, I'm not going. I do it all day, every day, 5 days a week. I'm not going. I'm not putting my hand up. But God uses you in the area that you're talented to achieve great things in the kingdom. You need to understand something here, and I'm not putting a heavy on you today. Because as much as what I might be pointing at you, there's one pointing you, there's three pointing back at me. I'm just as guilty. Am I diligently doing what God wants me to do? Or are we just doing godly things and not the things that God really wants us to do? Are we witnessing passionately enough? Dealt with that. Folk, only, I believe, change will come when we as God's people accept responsibility for what has to happen and what has happened. Secondly is humility. We have to humble ourselves before Almighty God. How proud we have become at our freedom and how arrogant we are in our affluence, our abundant supply of finance, our commodities, our wealth, our possessions. We take our freedom for granted and we provoke any attempt, we provoke by any attempt to limit that freedom. Pastor Keith says, okay, on the 8th we're going to have this witness in the streets of Krugersdorp. No ways. That involves my freedom. Saturday's my only day. Forget it. See how antagonistic we come before it? Some of us become sort of put your foot down and watch out. That was a heavy foot. Folk, who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for Pastor Keith? Are we doing it for Christian Heritage Church? Or are we doing it for God? I ask the question, are we doing it for God? Are we doing it for God? Yes. Our pride has blinded our eyes to the cost of our freedom. What was the cost of our freedom? It was a heavy cost. It was the blood of Jesus that paid for your freedom. We don't deserve it. We deserve to go to hell. But Jesus, because he loved us so much, he humbled himself. He came down to earth and he says, right, I'll live among you so I can experience what you're going through. He experiences it. Then he goes to the cross. He says, I love you so much. If you were the last person, I'd die for you too. That's how much he loves your soul and my soul. He loved us so much. He went to the cross and stretched out his arms and he showed us his love. Folk, that love extends beyond anything that you and I could ever do. Got nothing to do with the blood of our ancestors. The price for your soul has been established. It's fixed forever. It has been paid. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, we read this. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained for before the foundation of the earth, but he was manifest in these last things for you. God said, you have been bought and paid for. The price for your soul has already been established. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, we read this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. Jesus purchased you by his blood. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to God. Why? Because Jesus paid for your soul with his blood. It's time that we become humble. It's time that we put away the arrogance that is upon us and we turn to the living God, realizing that it's his son who paid for you and I. Therefore, he redeemed us from that sin. He brought us out of sin and placed us in a place where we can say we are free. We have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe the third point this morning is faith. Having humbled ourselves before God, we must then pray and seek his face. Isn't that what God said this morning? He wants us to seek him. How do you seek God? On your knees. We must return to the Word of God as the foundation upon which our nation stands. Can we say that our nation stands on the Word of God right now? With people finding it fashionable to serve other gods. The fashion statement, I'm a Buddha. Fashion statement, I belong to Islam. It's a fashion statement, but when the truth comes out, I believe we've got a lot of confessing to do. We cannot say with that type of fashion statement that we are people who are really doing walking in faith. You see, our Heavenly Father is removing his covering from South Africa. He withheld the rain for how many months? The Vaal Dam was at its lowest, where 18% of the dam is mud anyway. And it was down to 24%. Cape Town has had it where they had maybe 1 or 2 days left in their reservoir. And when we got down on our knees and we began to pray about it, what did God do? He sent the rain. Now I'm praying that God will send the rain upon us. Spiritually, that we will be so filled with his Holy Spirit that nobody will walk past this church without knowing that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen. That nobody in Krugersdorp will walk through the streets of Krugersdorp without knowing that these streets belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. That this town belongs to Jesus. People, we need to understand that this is not something that has only happened in Bible times. These things didn't only happen in Bible times when people went into a state of apostasy. What a big word. But that's where South Africa is. They've turned their backs on God. That's what apostasy means, to turn away from God. And it's time that we stand up and we start seeking God so that the nation of South Africa can turn back to the living God. Then we will find peace and joy in this country again. And folk, it didn't only happen then. It happened in Zimbabwe. Ouch. It's happened in Kenya. It's happened in Zambia. It's happened in Congo. It's happening all over Africa. Because the people are in a state of apostasy. That people run away to South Africa from hell to the pits of hell. That's what's happened. They think they're coming from there to the land of the living. They've come into the pits of hell. Because South Africa is in a state of apostasy. It's time that we start walking in faith and realizing that it didn't just happen in Bible times. We need to do it right now. If my people who are called by my name, we are Christians, folk. We have the name of Christ upon our lives. And therefore, we need to stand up and be counted. Let the world know. Let the world see the light of Jesus Christ. Today, we need to hear the proclamation that the Word of God says in Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Are we going to hear that? Are we going to pray for that in faith? Saying, Father, we want to hear that proclamation that South Africa has God as their Lord. Therefore, blessed are we, highly favored of God, because God is Lord of our lives. You know, in a dismal morning during World War I, I wasn't there. The Prime Minister, David Lloyd George, of the British Cabinet, of the British government, stood up. It was a serious situation, and it was very evident. The seriousness was very evident. The Prime Minister said, gentlemen, we are fighting with our backs to the wall. The only way out is up. Our only hope is God. So let us pray. I'm saying to you today, South Africans, Christian Heritage Church, we're fighting with our backs to the wall. The only way out is up. Our only way out is God. So let us pray. Folk, it's time. It's time as never before. 22nd is not going to be the last prayer day. I can assure you that. It's not going to be the last prayer day. We have prayer time at cell group. We have prayer time in the Sunday morning here on a Friday night. I believe we have to get to the point where we have prayer time every single day within this church. Who wants to be an intercessor? Who of you feel that that's your ministry? We need you in the church on a 24-hour basis. Praying for the people of this church. Praying for the leadership of this church. Praying for South Africa. South Africa is too corrupt to conquer. And too comfortable to be courageous. We need to proclaim to the world the only way out is through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's time to return to God, our Creator, our Savior, our Counselor, King of kings and Lord of lords. It's time for us to begin to walk in integrity. A word that is so commonly used in this world today. There was a bishop that stated that of the 16 or the 19 great civilizations that had passed away from the beginning of time had done so because of internal decay. You see, folk, history has proven that the greatest enemy that we have is not what or who attacks us. Our greatest enemy is what corrodes us within. That which is corroding away your spiritual life is your greatest enemy, and you need to deal with it. There's a Frenchman that stated this, and it's a quote that's quite often used. And I believe it applies to South Africa. But it was said about America. He said, America is great. And because America is great, it is good. But he says, if ever America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. We've got a great country, folk. We've got an awesome country. But when we cease to be good, we cease to be great. And that's part of integrity. But what does it mean to be to walk in integrity? If we are to turn from our wicked ways, how is this affected by integrity? Let's look at the meaning. That's this word that's so liberally used. It means moral uprightness. Ouch. Moral uprightness. Honesty. Righteousness, incorruptibility, goodness, virtue, honor, trustworthiness, unity, oneness, togetherness, consistency. Why did I pause? Are we walking in integrity? We've allowed things to come into this country so freely that was stopped through censorship. I'm not saying that all censorship is good. But what I am saying is the censorship that was the strongest one protected a lot of us. And folk, we need to start doing that with our children. What are you allowing them to watch on TV? What are we allowing ourselves to watch on TV? Parent once at a primary school had a major issue about sex education being given to young children. And I'm talking moral uprightness now. I'm talking integrity, folk. And this lady this man stood up and he took this lady on. He was all about to have another spur incident. And he took this lady on with this whole issue about sex education in the school. So this lady stood there. She quietly listened to him ranting and raving. When he had finished and he sat down, she said, "Sir, I just want to ask you a question." He said, "Fine, ask a question, be by all means, but my daughter's not coming to this." She said to him, "Does your daughter watch Loving or Dallas or Issy Dingo?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Well, she knows more than I'm going to teach her anyway." In fact, we laugh about it. We laugh about it. But you know how serious this is? You know how serious it is? We've raised a generation that lusts beyond that which is natural to man. We've allowed things to happen in this country that is not right. And we say, they did it. Where were we when we were supposed to stand up and say, "Our children, you're not watching that"? How often did God not say to the Israelites, "If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth"? How many of us know the Ten Commandments? Ach, you know, Pastor Dave, please, man, that was for Bible times. Put that in the closet. It's not for today. Folk, I ask you today, are you walking in integrity? Are you walking in the integrity of a Christian? If you are, then that wasn't for Bible days. It's for today, for you and I. And it goes like this in Exodus chapter 20. Go put a marker there, read it every day of your life, and consider your ways. The Lord and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. That was what Pastor Keith told us last week. He even put the helicopter in the dustbin. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Folk, I want to tell you that is so true for today. The sins of the father from four generations ago, we see it today. Of three generations ago, it's coming down the line to you and I. And it's time that we break those chains of bondage and we say, no more! But show mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh Lord, have mercy. South Africa, we need to learn. Nor hold him, you shall not take the Lord your God, the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless who take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Ach, today is shopping day. We'll go shopping. Folk, I mustn't carry on, please. To keep it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord, and in it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who lives within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, the land which the Lord has given you. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. Ouch. And murder, I'm talking about the tongue as well. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Oh. You shall not bear false witness. Ouch. Against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor his Mercedes-Benz, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the integrity of the Word of God, folk. Short and sweet. Where are we going, South Africa? It's time for us to pick up the integrity of the Word of God and to be like Jesus. And I ask the question again, where are we going, South Africa? Are we going God's way or are we going the way of the world? Are we doing what we want to do or will we follow where He leads me? The world's way will lead us eventually to the junkyard of the nations. Which pathway will we take? Folk, I believe the pathway we need to take is this. David returned from fighting the Philistines. He returns to Ziklag. Everybody that was with him, his 600 men, mighty men of God, return to smoke and ashes. Their wives are gone. Their children are gone. All their worldly possessions are gone. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They want to be with their family. And they return to the site of devastation. And they turn to David and they want to lynch him. They want to hang him from the nearest tree. David says, wait, fuck. He said, I'll give myself into your hands. But let me first seek God's face. David goes and he seeks the face of God. He covers himself with ash and sackcloth. I believe he fasted and he began to worship and he began to pray. And I don't know how many days it was, but in that time God gave him answer as to what he needs to do. And folk, it's time for us to do exactly that for South Africa. We're living in a beautiful land that God has given us. It's time for us to rise up out of the ashes. Be a phoenix to rise up out of the ashes and let the world know about Jesus. Just as David did, let's do exactly the same. Let's get on our knees, turn from our wicked ways. Let's follow the integrity of the Word of God. And let's do what Jesus would do. He would pray and pray. To the point of sweating blood. Are we prepared to do that? Let us pray right now. Gracious Father, we love you and we appreciate you. How awesome you are. You are a wonderful God. An awesome God. And Father, today, I pray that we take your word. That we use it to consider our ways. To consider what we have done. And Father, I pray today that your name be honored and glorified. That as we consider our ways, we will change our ways to your honor and glory. That your kingdom will grow. That South Africa will be the place it needs to be. And Father, that we will all be present for the 22nd to pray for this nation. But Father, might we now receive the challenge, pick it up, pick the gauntlet up, and begin to pray right now. But Father, I want to pray today. I want to ask, Father God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you come upon that person and that you bring them to the front. That they will know that you are God and you are God alone. It's not me, it's not anybody else in this congregation, but you alone, Father God. Is there anybody here like that this morning that really needs Jesus? If you need to recommit yourself to Jesus because you've allowed your sin to take the rightful place of Jesus, I want you to come forward this morning. Don't hesitate. Come, folk. Now is the time. This is the first day for the rest of your life. Now is the time. To take that time. Is there anybody here? I invite you right now. Father, we just thank you. We honor you. Pray your blessing upon each one. And I pray your love to cover each one as a mantle in Jesus' name.